Good afternoon, or sorry, good evening. I think it's still afternoon because it's still bright and sunny here in New Jersey. So good evening, ladies. Thank you for joining me. I am super excited for today's call, as I always am with our monthly call. So I want to welcome new members and those of you who have not been on a call before. I'm just going to give you a little breakdown of how it goes here. It's actually really, really simple. Just Q&A format. You can ask me whatever you want on any topic that you want. Doesn't matter. I am an open book. So if you want to get some advice around something, if you need coaching around something, if you have an idea that you want to brainstorm with me, nothing is off limits. So the way that this works is we have, you know, obviously lots of people on the line today. So if you want to ask a question, if you want to get on the line with me, you would just press *2 and that would put you in line, and I'll just answer the questions in line as they come in. And also, if you are calling from the webcast, you can also type your question in the Q&A box. So we usually get a lot of those questions as well, and I'll bounce back between the live calls and answering the questions in the Q&A. So let's go ahead and just get started. I don't like to waste any time. I want to make sure that you guys get all of your questions answered. So again, that's *2, and I'm going to go to our first caller. And I believe this is, let's see if I can unmute here. This is Jen.
Me, Jen?
Hello? Oh, yeah, you, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Great.
I haven't made it to a call in a while, so.
Yeah, but I remember this is your line from some random guy named John Miller.
Which makes no sense because I've had this number since I was 18 and I'm 33.
That is
almost
really weird.
So. Anyway, yeah. Great. Okay, so my question is about pivoting. So, and I know you did this like that very beginning of last year or the year before. You basically were doing relationship and like confidence coaching, and then you pivoted to doing that stuff for business. And I want to do something similar, because not for business stuff, but like meaning the stuff I'm doing right now, I love. It's great. Like story coaching is awesome, but I've found over the last few months, as I've gotten more into alignment with, like, who I am, what I'm really actually good at, I just realized that the story coaching thing is more something I taught myself to be good at because it was something I really cared about and wanted to learn for myself. And then I just started helping other people because I understood it so well. But I feel like the core skill set that I have as far as things that I'm really good at, it's like a natural talent that comes to me, is being inspirational, being motivational, and just, like, helping people get aligned with what they want for their writing life. So, like, before I started doing my coaching business, I was doing a blog called Procrastinating Writers, and the whole goal, and this was back in 2008, the whole goal was to motivate, inspire, and get people writing. My first book was called Button Chair. It was all about getting people's asses in the chair and doing their work. So I want to get back to that because I found that as I started kind of writing about that stuff again lately, that people have been resonating with it a whole lot more, and they've almost like literally been saying to me, like, I feel like I'm seeing a whole new side of you, and this is like totally amazing. And so how do I pivot the like branding of like, I'm a story coach, but I'm not really going to be a story coach anymore? And then also, I'm not sure, how the hell do you like do alignment and like motivation and that kind of stuff and like make money?
That was going to be my question to you. Before I answer your question, my question to you was going to be, how do you make money off of that? Have you thought about
Actually, I launched a mastermind group 3 or 4 weeks ago that I basically just got this idea. I called it the best-selling author mastermind. I was going to have people watch the behind the scenes as I become a best-selling author. Amazingly, it happened within 2 weeks of me starting that group, which was incredible. And I got like almost 30 people in there paying me to be in this group. And it's all about accountability. It's about being motivated and like just getting a behind the scenes look at like my writing life and how I do my books and all that stuff. So I feel like there is money to be made there and that people do need it. but I don't know about, you know, because I've been branding myself as a story coach for 2 years, it's like, how do I now, and I don't want to not do that stuff. I still want to do some of that. It's just I don't want to be the go-to, like, story coach anymore. I want to be more about, you know, that success mindset for writers type person. Like, that's
awesome.
What I,
first of all, I just want to congratulate you for coming into alignment with what you're really supposed to be doing, even though you think you're supposed to be doing something else. And that's exactly what happened with me. And you're already starting to see the effects of what happens when you're actually doing something that you love and that is your purpose. And I feel like there's no way that you can't make money when you're living your purpose and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So your question was, how do you pivot? How do you transition? I think, you know, the way that I did it, it was more of a shift than like a straight transitioning, but it did happen really fast. So, you know, I was doing confidence coaching for regular women and, you know, successful women, people that were real estate agents and, you know, pharmacists and lawyers and teachers and things like that. And the first shift I made was still doing confidence coaching, but for a different type of person. So I just started working with entrepreneurs and their confidence. And from there, it shifted again to doing more of the strategy with entrepreneurs. So I feel like there still is a little bit of tie-in with what you're doing now and what you want to do. So I would just try to figure out what that is, like what is that through line that people will still get it and not think like, oh, this lady's crazy, like she's doing something completely different, you know? And I would just hardcore just focus on that, what you want to do, the inspiration, the writing. And you're saying that's your membership site that has 30 people in it?
Yeah, I a couple weeks ago I launched it, and it does. I have another membership site as well that has, at this point, has about 25, and that one is based on storytelling stuff. And then this other one is completely different topic.
What was the other one?
Well, okay, so the first one is, it's called Students of Story, and it's a membership site for people who want to learn how to be better storytellers, who want to master the craft of writing novels, all that stuff. And then I have one called Bestselling Author Mastermind, which is for all different types of authors of, you know, nonfiction, fiction, blogs, whatever it is they want to write. It's more for accountability, kick-ass motivation, and success mindset for people who want the big dream, you know, the big writing dream.
And would you let go of the story coaching one altogether and focus on this one?
I mean, I'm back and forth on that because I really do enjoy the story coaching one and I have a lot of fun with it. But I think I would like a bigger focus to be this other mastermind group and maybe just having that one. So I actually have people in both groups who, like, signed up to be in both groups.
Mm.
And so there is something, and I thought about combining the two, but then I'm like, well, there's people who don't want that stuff. They just want the motivation and accountability stuff, and I don't want to, you know, muddy it by trying to mix them together.
Right.
So I thought maybe if I just had those two things and then, you know, maybe just some, like, one-off workshops and maybe – because I'm trying to move away from one-on-one coaching. That's the other thing. I'm trying to not do one-on-one coaching anymore if I can help it. So.
And what do people pay you to be in your membership site?
Well, when I just launched it, I charged $19, but I'm going to go up once I relaunch it in June. This was more just like – and actually, I take that back because there's three levels to the membership. So there's one that's $19 a month. There's one that's $29 a month, and that includes a 15-minute motivational call with me. And then there's a $39 version, which has that membership and the student one together. And then there's a third one or fourth one that's just for people who are already in my other group. They ask for it, like, privately, which also includes – it's, like, $50, and it includes both of the groups plus the motivational call each month.
And that's a one-on-one call?
Yeah, it's a 15-minute just, like, where are you stuck, let me get your, you know, ass in gear kind of a thing.
And didn't you just tell me that you didn't want to do one-on-one anymore?
I know. I should know.
So
that was something I
– that.
Right. That was something I threw in because I thought it would be like an extra. And really, the 15-minute motivators are a lot of fun for me.
If you're going to do that, then I would just say, hey, if you pay 6 months in advance, you know, or a year in advance, then you get a free call with me. That's like a bonus. I would get rid of that middle option completely.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, because you just told me you didn't want to do it. So
well,
why are you gonna
I
do
don't
it?
Want to do one-on-one story coaching. I don't. I actually,
right.
The motivators are pretty cool. Like, those are actually fun because I feel like it's only 15 minutes, and I just kind of get on the phone with them and kick their ass a little bit, and then they get motivated, and then they, you know, go off on their day. And I'm not having to, like, analyze their story plan and, like, figure out their structure and doing all that kind of stuff, which I don't want to do anymore.
I would still use it as a bonus than as part of the thing because let's say you want to make this, like, your thing and you want $20,000, $30,000 a month just from
yeah,
this.
I do.
And are you going to be doing 100 calls a month even if they're only 15 minutes?
True.
Well,
and maybe this was just, like, the first time I launched it, that was what I included for the, you know, people who took advantage of the early bird, and now I won't offer
yeah,
it when
I that's what
launch.
I'm saying. Like, use it as a bonus, but I wouldn't make it as, like, one of
regular.
The levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I definitely want, like, 500 people in there at some point, and maybe even more. It's just that
okay.
Right now I'm writing about 500. I'm saying 500 people in there, paid members. So.
500 at, what, $30 each?
Yeah. Well, it'll, yeah, it's going to go up a little bit. So, yeah, it'll be around $30 probably.
Perfect. I love it. I said just go for it. Go full force, like, put everything into this group. Like, you can still have the other group and, you know, maybe still fall back on some one-on-one as you're building this, but I don't see any reason why you can't get 500 people in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think so, too, because I've got a wait list. There's already, like, 7 or 8 people on the wait list, and I think if I promote it right when I do, like, the launch again in June, I think I can get a whole lot more people
yep.
in there.
Yeah, and you would just do little spurts. So I talked about this before on one of the calls, but I'll repeat it because I know there's a lot of people that want to do membership sites. You know, what I did was I obviously had, like, my first launch where I got 100 people, something like that, in, like, the first section. And then what I did was it was pretty much passive. Like, I had it on a funnel. People would opt in, and they would get, you know, my funnel emails inviting them to the group. And I would get a few people every week, not a lot, but it was steady. But then every 6 to 8 weeks, I would do, like, a sale or some kind of special or some kind of bonus. And each time I did that, I would get another 50 to 70 people every 6 to 8 weeks to build up to where I am now. So I would do the same thing. You would have your big launch. You know, make sure that it's still passive all the time, like kind of backdoor people can get in if they sign up through an ad, get your opt-in, you know, make the offer through the funnel, and then do a sale or a bonus or a special or some kind of like mini promotion every 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. So like open the doors for like 2 days every 6 to 8 weeks and then have a
yeah.
funnel that funnels people in from like Facebook ads. That's the
right.
only other place you can get in besides when I open the doors for the bigger launcher.
Exactly. So if somebody goes on your website and tries to go in, like, it'll say doors are closed, right?
Wait list,
but
right,
if they're
yeah.
coming through your back-end funnel, then they'll, you know, they obviously get a cloned copy of the page or a different copy of the page that maybe has, you know, a trial month or some kind of bonus or something to get them in, you know, through the back door. So, yeah, that's how I would do it.
Okay, yeah, because I can definitely see this being a core offering for my business, and especially as I transition to this new focus, because not that it's not really new focus. It's what I've always focused on. It's just that for the last 2 years, I kind of took it out of focus and focused on something else, but it all kind of goes together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, from somebody who, I mean, I am a writer, but I'm not, like, in that space, but to me, it doesn't seem that far off. So I think, yeah, just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally going to, because I feel like this is the stuff I'm meant to be talking about and writing about and helping people with, and the more I've gotten alignment with it, the more I see it, so I definitely want to just keep going with it.
And it's a lot easier, too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely, it's a lot more fun, too, because, I love story coaching, it's a blast, but it's definitely a lot more hard work as far as, like, the mental having to analyze people's stuff and, like, really do a lot more. Whereas this is more just like, I'm just motivating them. Like, I'm helping them see the vision of what they want and I'm helping them go get it. Like, and that's something I've done my whole life. Like, people have always told me that I'm inspirational and I'm motivational. And, like, I've always been somebody with big goals and who's always reached them. And so it's like, duh, that's what I should be doing, helping writers see the potential that they have.
Yeah, we all have that, like, come to Jesus moment where it's like, duh.
Yeah.
It's what I was supposed to be doing the whole time. Yep.
Totally.
Cool.
All right.
Well, good luck.
Well, thank you.
Looking forward to it. Alrighty, let's see who else is on the line. Alrighty, I have Miss Allie from Hawaii. Hi.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. How's it going? How are you?
Good. I'm glad I got the next turn because I have a discovery call in 20 minutes.
Oh, well, which is awesome.
Yeah, so celebration for that. And my question today, Jen, is about this kind of lightning moment, come to Jesus moment I've recently had. And I'm going to put out a 6-week program. And I'm going to be sort of offering it to my group and my list right now for like a significantly lower price. But I'm curious for that and also maybe like the next step, what kind of funnel you would suggest for like a $197 to $497 6-week kind of live call program. Like, what do you think the best funnel for that would be?
What was the first question? Did you ask me 2 questions or was that the only one?
Pretty sure that's the only one.
Okay. So you want to run it, you're running it live for 6 weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
And you want to know what kind, well, so you wouldn't do a funnel. So when I talk about funnels, that is more on the passive end. So a funnel can be something more evergreen, right? So if once you do it live and maybe you want to just make that an evergreen product and do, you know, $497 or $397, whatever you want to do without the live element, then you would put that in the, you know, funnel where people would just constantly be, you know, being made the offer. They can sign up whenever they want, buy it, boom, that's it. So what you're looking at is basically a launch. You know, you want to do, if you just want to do an internal launch, like I think that's cool. I do most of my launches are internal. They're just to my groups and my list, and I don't do like this big extravagant, you know, $1 million launch. But I would definitely, you know, start with just giving lots of value to your audience before you even make the offer. So basically the launch starts before the launch starts. So when do you want to start the course?
I was thinking June 2nd.
Okay, so you got like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's when you want to start the course?
Yeah, I was thinking that because I'm pretty ready for that in terms of content and what I would be doing with people. So I'm just sort of on
Are your people ready to put that off?
Most of them are because I even just offered a retreat and there was so much interest. So it's kind of like, man, I'm just wanting this for the people that can't afford that and that are like, they're pretty hot right now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in my opinion, I would push it back. I don't think 2 weeks is long enough to do a launch.
Enough. Okay.
If you feel like you have people that are ready, then if you want to, go for it. But that wouldn't be my professional recommendation. I would, you know, definitely seed those people first, make sure that you're giving them tons of value, you know, through emails, maybe do either a webinar or a challenge or something to really, like, get them excited about your offer and then present the offer, you know. So if you're actually, like, starting the class in 2 weeks, when are you going to do the launch, you know?
Right.
But if you don't get the amount of people that you want to get. So you want to, I would stretch it out a little bit, you know, even if you don't, I typically do like 4 to 6 weeks for a launch because like I said, the launch starts before it starts, you know, before I actually announce, hey, I have this thing for 2 to 2 weeks before I'm just giving massive value, doing webinars, doing challenges, doing whatever, just to get my audience excited. Then when I present the offer, it's not like, oh, you know, like they kind of knew it was coming.
Right.
Really push it back 3 weeks, 4 weeks, give yourself some time.
Okay.
And it also depends, like, are you doing discovery sessions? Are, you know, are they, do they have to apply or can they just buy it? That would also make a difference, you know, in, as far as, like, how long you want to keep the doors open. Like, are you going to open the doors on, you know, Wednesday and close on Friday? You're going to open the doors on Monday and close on Friday, then start on Monday. So you would have to just really think through that, but I definitely think you need more time.
So then I guess that would lead me to another question that I would absolutely love hearing your opinion on, because this used to be a huge block for me, and I'm sensing that if it continues to be so, it would just deteriorate my business because it's growing so fast that I'm, you know, I'm planning on traveling to LA in July, and I even have these other retreats coming up. So it's one of those things where I'm like, eek, I want to try to squeeze it in before I have that travel time, even though that's where I'm wondering, like, what would you do? Because I feel like I could either, well, I probably wouldn't want to do that with this program, but, you know, either try to squeeze it in, like, during my travel somehow, you know, just be on the call somehow, or, yeah, just maybe move it around, and, yeah, just sort of curious what your opinion
is. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, this has happened to me as well, you know, where I've been on vacation or something, and that's totally up to you. So if you're like, you know, this is my independent, you know, location-free business, then that's what you're going to do, right? You're going to be traveling.
Right.
You're going to be still working, right? So you can do it either way. I've done it where just let the person know, like, if it's 6 weeks in a row, I'll say, like, there's an implementation week on this week.
Ooh.
You know, we won't have a call this week. Like that, or I mean, if you're just doing a group call and it's 1 hour, then I would just squeeze it in. You know, what's the big deal?
Yeah, yeah. I could even make my travel plans where I arrive in LA a day before if the call's on the day. Because at first I was like, I was planning on traveling on that day, but I could switch it. You know, it'll be easy. Yeah. Okay.
It'll be fine.
Yay! It's no longer a block of mine. That's good.
I mean, you got to get used to it, right? Because your business is growing fast. You want to be traveling.
Yeah.
You want to be located. So that's how we do it.
Yes, and I love that you're here to support me in that, so thank you.
Awesome. Love it.
All right, then. I'll talk to you
on your call.
Thank you so much. All right, thank you so much.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. All right, let's see. Who else is on the line? I do have a couple hands raised, but I'm going to quickly hop to the Q&A real quick. All right, so Courtney says, I know you mentioned you were kind of hiding in your first year of business. How did you make the transition in your mindset to really step out? What were some of the key things you started believing? This is a great question, Courtney, because I'm sure a lot of people are in that spot where they feel like they're not visible enough, they're not present enough, they may be hiding, they're fearful, you know, they may have some blocks around putting themselves out there. For me personally, it was, I didn't have a choice. So I had spent a year, you know, a little over a year, I thought I was doing stuff, but really I was hiding. You know, I wasn't putting myself out there. I didn't have Work With Me page on my website. I didn't, you know, put anything on my Facebook page, things like that. So, like I mentioned, for me personally, it was definitely a moment where I had to make a decision. Am I going to go all in with my business, or am I going to go get a freaking job? Because that's where I was. I was just at the point where I had invested so much time and energy and money into my business that I was getting to the point where I needed money. I needed something. So it was either get a job or make the business work. And for me, I had to make the business work. So, you know, one of the things that I tell people all the time, too, is a lot of times when we're hiding or we're not being visible, it's our own personal stuff, and it's our own ego that's keeping us from doing that. So we're scared of what people are going to think. Are people going to say, who is she to coach people, or who is she to do that? You know, we're so worried about what other people are going to think, and, you know, it's a viable thing because that's just how we're brought up, right? We want to please people. But the thing you want to do is really think about your bigger vision, your bigger mission. Why are you doing this in the first place? And make that bigger, more important, and a priority over your ego. And if you can do that and really think about, you know, by me hiding or by me not being visible, I'm doing a disservice to the people who need me. I'm doing a disservice to the people who can learn from me or hear my story and be inspired. So just make whatever this is that you are building bigger than yourself. And if you can do that and keep that in mind, then you'll be okay. Hope that was helpful. All right, so I have Tracy, who says, I'm getting serious about starting a membership site, but I'm not sure how much content there should be before I launch? Great, great question. So, Tracy, it really depends on how, like, what is your going to be your standard pieces of content every month. So I'm assuming that every month you're going to develop new content and put that out. So first thing is you want to figure out what are going to be the core pieces of content. So, for example, in the Little Black Business Book, the core pieces of content are your masterclass with me, your masterclass with a guest expert, and your Q&A call, right? Those are like the three main things that you get every single month. So think about what is going to be your core pieces of content, and I really don't think that you need to have that much. Maybe you would have 1 or 2 months worth within the membership site. That way, if somebody comes in new, there's actually something in there. And I would keep myself ahead about 3 months. So that way you're not scrambling to create new content every month. So in short, 3 months worth of content I would have ready to go when you're going to start your membership site. And make sure that there's something in there for when people sign up. If you have any follow-up questions, just go ahead and put them in the question box here. All right, I have Legina. She says, I'm a successful life and business coach. I have the kind of revenue that many others desire, a real blessing. I'm thinking of adding a network marketing company to the mix that encompasses one of the things that I'm also passionate about, health and wellness. Would adding this confuse my tribe? Would they be able to see me as both the network marketing leader and the coach that they already know? This is a really great question. I did see you post it in the Q&A, and I didn't get to it yet, but I'm actually glad that you wrote it here because I think it's going to be easier for me to say it rather than write it. And the first thing I would think about is, does this tie into what you're currently doing? If it doesn't, I would keep it separate. There's no reason why you can't have two different businesses. You know, you'll have your life and business coaching, and then you'll have your health and wellness network marketing. So think about if it's completely different audience, completely different target market, completely different ideal client, you have nothing to worry about, really, because it's not like you're marketing totally different things to the same people. So you would just have to keep them separate and say, okay, if I'm going to do my network marketing and, you know, do ads around that and get traffic around that, it's going to be a completely different person, I would imagine, than the person who is coming to you for business coaching. So, yeah, and so they won't be confused because you're not going to be marketing this network, you know, this company to them. I hope that makes sense. Okay, let's see. I'm going to hop back over to the phone, and this is Melody. Hi. Can you hear me?
Hello? Hey, Jen, how are you? I'm sorry. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. I have so many questions, but I guess I want to ask these two. One of them is kind of about pivoting. Mine's a minor pivot. I started my business called The Private Label Insider, where I teach people how to create their own beauty, hair care, makeup products. My audience is makeup artists, Amazon sellers, those kind of things. But it didn't really connect with people. It did. I have about 7,000 followers on Facebook. But then I started calling it the Beauty Entrepreneur. Like I did a Beauty Entrepreneur Summit, I'm doing a Beauty Entrepreneur Summit. You guys are watching it. Thank you. I'm doing Beauty Entrepreneurship. Like I did a free Facebook group and that's really connecting with people. So I'm thinking about changing my business name to Beauty Entrepreneurship. And then I want to also start like the Beauty Entrepreneurship Academy as a membership site. What do you think about that?
Okay, so is your question about changing the name?
Yeah, it's about changing the name and then also about, you know, like the membership site as well, which has further questions.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Beauty Entrepreneur as like I know you said that you have a Facebook group. Like, I think that's awesome because I feel like that's, like, I would want to be a part of that tribe if that was my area of expertise, if that was my niche. I'd be like, yeah, I want to be a part of that. But you said something about changing your business name to Beauty Entrepreneurship?
Yeah, or Beauty Entrepreneurs something. Right now it's called Private Label Insider. I've got a following, been in the game for a long time, but I think it's more concise what I do with Beauty Entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think it's awesome. around changing it. I think it was just, yeah, if you did like a rebrand and kind of like came out, here's the new brand, here's the new website, here's, you know, the new title, I think that would be fine as long as you do that to your current tribe, because you're doing the same thing, right? You're not doing something different.
No, exact same thing. Yeah, just offering more group programs and membership programs.
I like the idea of the membership site too. What would you include in your membership site?
You know, I'm kind of following your model as far as like a masterclass with me, expert, a Q&A call, and then also like I do like random calls about you know, how to start a hair care line, how to start a makeup line, so different modules on that, and then. I was thinking about also having sponsors in there of other vendors, like manufacturers actually sponsoring to place ads within the membership site to be listed. Of course, they wouldn't, you know, the people that join wouldn't know that, but that's what I was thinking.
That's awesome. I love it.
You love it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
How much?
What's the price to charge for that? So I did a 6-week boot camp class, and it was $497, and like, I had 18 people show up. I have about a 4,000 list, and you know, a lot of them needed payment plans, which is fine, but I want to make it affordable because a lot of people are bootstrapping when they're beauty entrepreneurs.
Yep. I mean, pricing, I don't ever usually like to give out, you know, pricing options, like not to people who aren't my clients anyway, because I think that's a pretty sensitive thing, you know, but initially, like if you want my opinion, like the first thing I was thinking was like $50 a month.
$50. Okay. That's cool.
Like, I
and
feel like
I'm launching this. Go ahead.
I feel like it's going to, you know, like it's enough of an investment to like for them to actually do the work. Like if it's too low, they might sign up, but then they probably won't be active in it. But then also you're kind of like separating like the real players from the people who are just going to spend $10, $20, right? But then if you go too high,
yeah.
If you go to like $100 or $150, it might be too much initially for someone to even get in. And then if you price it, like whatever price you choose, you can always go up. You know, like I always tell people leave room to go up, right? Because if you start at 100, you're not going to be able to really go up that much without losing a lot of people. But if you start at 50 or 40 or 60, then you have room to eventually make it $100 once you have, like, lots of content in there and the values there and all that stuff. Makes sense?
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And then I'm finishing my summit. It finishes June 5th. I was going to go into, like, a challenge and then open the membership is what I was doing.
Yeah, I think
that's that makes sense?
Idea.
Okay. Thank you, Jen. Thank you so much.
Love it. You're welcome.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Let me see who else we have today. Remember, it's star 2, guys, to raise your hand. All right. Alicia says, when starting a membership site, do you need to have a niche, and what should you focus on? What's a good price point? I'm a business strategist but don't have a niche yet. I've been in business for 7 years, so I have a lot of experience but don't know what to focus on. Okay, Alicia. Definitely you want to have a focus. I already answered the question about the price point. It really depends. The price point, it depends on what the value is, how much interaction they're going to have with you, how much content's going to be in there, is there a live element? So without, like, actually knowing what's in the membership site, I can't really give you a price, but I would still take the same advice that I just gave to Melody about starting at a point where you can go up if you want to in the future. So we started the Little Black Business Book at $25. So, you know, we have, like, our founding members that paid that price, but now it's $100 because the value is there. There's tons of value, tons of content. And it's actually worth more than $97 a month, but that is what the price is at right now. So just start somewhere where you have the ability to change, increase the price, and then start with like a founding member's price. I absolutely think that you do need to have a niche if you want to have a membership site because there's so many of them. Like obviously just in this conversation that we've had today, this last entire 35 minutes, pretty much everyone had a question about a membership site. So if you want to have a membership site that's going to thrive, that's going to bring you, you know, that recurring income every month, it's got to be something specific so that people actually want it, so that people actually are like, I need to be in that. And it's not just like a general, like, whatever content you want in there, right? So definitely find a niche. You've been in business for 7 years. You have lots of experience. So what is the one thing that you really enjoy? What is the one thing that you love? What is the one thing that when you're working with your clients, like, that one thing just lights you up and it's your zone of genius? I would start there. If you have any follow-ups to that, too, you can type those in. Sylvia says, I'm trying to start a calendar of content to email out to my subscribers. Is there a recommended rotation? I'm finding it a challenge to find the right sequence. For example, 2 pieces of value-added articles per week and then an offer. I'm writing the content, so I want to commit to something that is reasonable for me to implement. Okay, let me see. So I would assume, okay, so this is for your email subscribers. I wouldn't make an offer every week. I'm trying to understand. Sorry, guys. Give me a second. I'm trying to understand what you're saying here. So this is for your email subscribers. It depends on what you're offering. I mean, or how often you're sending out to your subscriber list. Are you sending them out once a week? Are you sending them out twice a week? I always, always give lots and lots of value before I make an offer. And it also depends on what your offer is. Like, is your offer just, you know, sign up for a discovery session with me, or is your offer like buy this thing? You know, I feel like those are two very different type of offers. But just make sure that, you know, I wouldn't say that there's like a balance, but definitely a harmony when it comes to adding lots of value before you ever ask for anything. So if for whatever reason you're feeling like, oh, ick about presenting an offer because you feel like you haven't given enough, then you probably haven't. So I would probably do more than two pieces of value before you make the offer, maybe more like 3 or 4, and then you can make an offer to them. All righty, let's see here. All right, I'm going to go to Miss Lisa Marie.
Hello.
Hi, did I cut you off guard?
No. Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm good.
I had a question, actually, about a book that I believe I saw that you had co-authored, I think around this time last year. And I was actually curious about that. Was it with Brian Tracy, or who was the book with? I can't remember.
Yeah, the book was with Brian Tracy, and it was actually about 3 years ago.
Oh, was that? Okay. I just happened to see an ad or something for it last year. So my question is, how did you hook up with someone of his sort of, you know, I mean, he's obviously a bigwig in the industry, and he's known for the writing and all of that. How did that opportunity come about, or how did you create that opportunity? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that opportunity, really weird, because this is, like, before I even, you know, was, like, full-time
blew up.
My business. This was in the very beginning of my business when this happened. And
right.
It was actually just an opportunity that I came across when I was doing, like, my research and watching my webinars and doing all that kind of stuff. And they were actually looking for authors to contribute to the book, and I submitted. You know, I was like, great, sounds awesome, I'm going to submit, right? And I actually had to have, like, a conversation with their publicist and all of that good stuff. They liked my story, and that's how that opportunity came about. So they were actually actively searching for people, and I believe that that's something that they do all the time. So maybe if you follow him or get on his list or something like that, you can find out more information about that. Like I said, it was 3 years ago for me, so I'm not sure, you know, what they're doing still or how they do it or anything like that.
Right. Okay, yeah, because I do come across other opportunities like that from time to time, you know, with people like that. It actually might have been him again, but I was just curious. Yeah, so, like, I didn't know if you had just reached out and said, like, hey, you know, like, I'm a good writer and I want to write with you, or, you know, if it just sort of came to you. I was just curious how you went about doing that, because I definitely want to be able to utilize my writing skills in a more impactful and profitable way at some point. And so, yeah, if there's anything else that you can just even add to that, if you know of anything.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know anything offhand because that was so long ago, and it was something that came across to me, and I took the opportunity.
Okay, very cool. Thanks for the info on that.
All righty. All right, let's see who else is here. Star two, guys, to raise your hand. Or type your question in the question box. So I don't see anything right now. Give it another refresh. One now. Linda says, when promoting free clarity calls, what kind of value would you offer in advance? I feel as though even though I post that I'm offering free sessions, people don't respond. I'm an intuitive career coach, and past calls I've done have given tons of value to my clients. Okay, so I'm wondering if you mean posting in Facebook groups or posting to your list. And so I definitely have a theory on that. Just because something's free doesn't mean that people want it. People have to like you and trust you first. And once they like you and trust you, then they may want to take you up on the offer. So if this is something that you're just putting out in groups, it's probably not going to work. If you're not familiar with the group, if you're just hanging out in somebody else's group and offering clarity calls, if it's in your own personal group, then it should be fine, unless it's like the wording or something like that that they're not resonating with. But if you're just going into other people's groups, that's not a great tactic. Instead, I would build my own group. I would start growing your list, and those are the people that you want to make the offers to, because those are the people that are actually raising their hands and saying, yes, I'm interested in this. I want intuitive career coaching. I want to know more. And those are going to be the people that will actually take you up on your offers. So I hope that was clear. And I hope that I was correct in assuming that you meant you're posting in Facebook groups. Okay, Tiffany says, what are your thoughts for a branding web designer having a membership site? I feel like for a membership site, I would need to shift to marketing, but I'm not sure. Do you have any ideas on that? Yes, I do have an idea on that, Tiffany. There is actually someone, let me see if I can look her up really quickly, she's a designer and she has a membership site. I just want to pull up her website so you can see it really quickly. Let's see. Her name is Dee Woodward, so you'll just have to look for her. And what she does is she does classes. I think she might do, like, Photoshop classes. She does templates, workshops, those types of things. But she's a designer, and she has a membership site. So I would look her up. Just Google Dee Woodward, Woodward, and check that out. All right, Courtney says, you answered my last question beautifully. You're welcome. I have a VA business. My services are on the more expensive end. I only want to work with a certain number of hours to enjoy my kiddo, so I feel like I'm hitting a glass ceiling. Do you think offering paid trainings in a group setting would be a great idea? Yeah, if you want to. Who would the paid training be for? Would they be for potential clients to learn certain things that you do in the VA business, or would they be to train other VAs? That's what I'm wondering. Another thing is, why not hire more people and hire people out to to do part of your VA work if you want to, you know, have only a certain number of hours, because obviously you're right. You're going to hit a glass ceiling. There isn't going to be anything that you can do besides a recurring or passive income product. So think about who that would be for. Would it be to people who want to learn how to DIY their own stuff, or would it be for other potential VAs to learn the trade and learn what to do so that they can go out and get clients? I actually think the second option will probably be better for you. I think that there is definitely a need for that. Okay. You're welcome, Melody. All right. Hand raised. Let's see who it is. No name, but you are in San Diego. Phone number ending in 2163. Hi.
Oh, hey. It's Shelly. How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm actually in Santa Barbara right now, but.
It goes by your cell phone.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was, but I wasn't sure, so.
Yeah. So I actually am running a challenge this week, as you know. Wanted to get a little bit of feedback because I'm in day 3 of the challenge, and I surveyed my list to see what they wanted to learn from me about, and they basically came up with the theme of confidence. The level of activity is not as, like, engaged as I wish that it would be, so I kind of want some feedback about what I can do mid-challenge to kind of, like, make it more exciting and have more engagement. Like, there are some people watching live, but I feel like a lot of people are watching the replays. And I would like to get some more engagement. So what can I do?
How many people are actually engaging, and what does more engagement look like for you?
So how many people are engaging? I'm doing Periscope and Facebook Live at the same time. I've only seen a couple of people on Facebook Live, probably like 10 people on Periscope. And the Facebook Live, I had bad reception on Monday, and, like, it dropped a couple times. And then on Tuesday it dropped a couple times, too, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But today was okay. What does more engagement look like to me? It looks like people actually tuning in live at the time that I'm doing it.
Do you think it's the time that could be throwing people off?
I have no idea, to be honest.
What time are you doing it? Because I know you're Pacific time.
12 o'clock Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think that that's an unreasonable time.
Most of your people are working, then it might be too much. But why are you doing it on both? Why are you doing it on the Periscope and on the live?
Just to be able to, I guess, cover 2 platforms for people that like Periscope.
Okay.
Are you suggesting that I just say one?
Are you announcing, like, I'm going live at 12 p.m. Pacific time and all that stuff? Okay.
Yeah.
How many people signed up for the challenge?
I think I have 135 signed up. Maybe,
okay.
I have to check the numbers, but I think maybe 135 or maybe like 140.
Roughly how many people do you think are actually actively participating?
I don't know. I mean, I only see the people that are on the challenge, which it's literally been like under 10. So that's why I'm a little bit stumped, because I've never had this happen before.
Right.
And it's something, and yeah.
Are the videos long, like the Facebook Live videos? Like, how long do they go?
The first one was, like, I think 40 minutes, but then I cut down. I made the last 2 very short.
Okay. So what I would suggest is, are you giving them, like, actual, like, action steps, like prompts to do as a result of the challenge?
Yes.
So, like, you've done mine before, right? And at the end of all of mine, I tell people, you know, go into the group and comment with, you know, whatever, and then use this hashtag. Are you doing something like that?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I would add something like that only because then you can really get a good idea of who's participating. Are they actually doing it, you know, and it actually gives them a reason to, like, do something.
You know what? On day number one, I actually did, and not a lot of people, let's see here. On day number one, I did give them a prompt, and there wasn't very much engagement with it.
Yeah, I mean, I would still do it. You know, you did it one time. So I'll just give you a perspective. I think we had 1,200 people that signed up for the funnel challenge. And I would, if I had to guess, say about, this is probably overestimating, about 50 people that were actively participating.
How many?
50.
Okay. 50 people.
So that's just perspective. 1,200 people signed up, but how many people were actively participating? How many people were actually tuning into the live videos? How many people were actually commenting and saying, I completed day one of the five-figure funnel challenge? Yeah, it wasn't a lot. You know, in reference to however many people signed up, that's why I asked you, like, what is the actual engagement, because I do feel like a lot of people, when they participate in challenges or when they sign up for challenges, they want the information, but it could just be a bad time, or they might be doing it on their own time, watching the replays or doing the activities, like, on their own and just not active.
Okay.
And so what do you think is different about this challenge than about your other ones? Because you said that you never had it happen before.
I think, well, the other challenges that I've had have been, like, very, I think more focused. Like, I had an opt-in challenge, or I've had a visibility challenge that was much more engaged, a lot more engaged. This has to do with, like, confidence, so I don't know if, like, there's, like, something intangible about it, but I'm making it tangible in the challenge.
Here's a thought.
Huh?
The people that need help with confidence aren't confident enough to participate and put their stuff out there.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean, they've participated in other things. That's, I think, why I'm a little bit confused as to what might be happening, because they've participated in the group in other ways.
Yeah. What are some examples of the, like, the prompts that you have them doing?
So, for example, I actually just tagged you on a post, but let's see here. So, what I had them do the first day is write out 5 beliefs that they will drill and practice every single day.
Okay. So when I was doing, like, the life and confidence coaching, I found that I did have a lower engagement because the prompts and things were more personal.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be part of it. Like, they may not want to admit that they have a lack of confidence. They might not feel safe to kind of talk about it in front of everybody in the group.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, your other challenges were working better, where you're actually more actionable and having them do things, I would stick with that.
Okay.
I mean, there's really, you know, without straight up asking them, like, it's hard to tell why they're participating or why they aren't.
Yeah, I did straight up ask, and not, like, I mean, the people that are not participating didn't respond. That's, I think, why I'm a little bit confused at what might be going on. There were a couple people that responded, like, oh, I'm enjoying the challenge, or you know, I'm keeping up with this or I'm watching the replays.
Mm-hmm.
But only four people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people responded, but that's it.
That's interesting. And they're the same people that aren't responding or the same people that aren't participating?
No, a couple of these have been on the actual live, but so the people that are not participating are not answering and they're not participating. So.
Yeah, and we talked about it too, like that it could be that they are kind of challenged out. You know, you do a challenge all the time. And mm-hmm. If I participated in like 3 challenges over the last 3 months, like maybe I just want to work on my stuff, or maybe I don't have time, or maybe I've gotten so much great results from your challenge that I'm too busy and I can't hop on. You know, I got clients
Something. I think the part that's a little bit confusing is that the 140 people that signed up for the challenge have not been in my community before. These are new people.
And so maybe they're not even used to what a challenge is. Possibly.
Okay.
I think there's many variables to actually know what it is. But
yeah.
I would regroup and do what you were doing before. If that's working, keep doing that.
Any like feedback as to like what I do for the rest of the challenge, or just kind of like
when does it end? Tomorrow or
just
Friday?
Just roll with it on Friday. I mean, should I just roll with it?
I would just keep doing it. You know, make sure you're sending out your replays and things like that. But yeah, it could just be, you know, people weren't interested in that, you know, even though you say, so here's one thing. You said, I asked my community and they said they wanted confidence. But then you just told me that the people that are participating in this challenge are new to your group.
Right. But, I mean, the challenge is going out to the whole community.
Yeah.
So what I'm confused about is, A, why people might not be participating in something they said that they wanted in the first place, and B, why wouldn't the new people be participating? So that's, I mean, I understand from one point that, you know, the newbies might not be, but the people that said that they wanted,
yeah,
you know, I was just curious if you had any insight about that.
No, it's interesting. I think, you know, people just sometimes sign up for stuff and they don't participate. Like, it happens all the time. People sign up for opt-ins and they never download them. Like, just really weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would just roll with it, keep doing what you're doing, and re-pivot for the next one.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Cool. Alrighty.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Alrighty, let me see if there's anybody else here. Alright, I've got a couple more questions. Lee Momi says, I'm doing some market research on my new audience and reevaluating who I want to work with. What are some Facebook groups that you recommend that you found are more where 6- and 7-figure entrepreneurs hang out? That would be, and what would be the best way to approach them? So I don't really understand what you mean by what would be the best way to approach them. I would do, if you are, you know, successful, which I believe you are, do the same thing. You would just be shifting who your target market is. I am a part of some groups. One of them is called the Next Level Mastermind. It's Ryan Levesque's group, and he has a group, I think, of like 1,300, but it's a paid group. And for the most part, what I'm thinking is if you're trying to get into where people are more in the 6-7-figure range, it's going to be a paid group, not a free group, because I really don't think that they are hanging out in free groups. They might be leading free groups, but they're probably not hanging out in free groups. So groups may not even be the way to go at all if you're looking to work with people who are in the 6- and 7-figure range. Like, if I'm making $1 million, I'm not hanging out in groups. So that's what I would say to that. Marlene says, I'm a parent coach, child behavior consultant. I'm working on a free webinar mini course that will lead to my paid course. I'm not sure if I should A, sell my course with the purchase of the course. Clients will have access to the private Facebook group where I will have Q&A with affiliates myself regularly. New materials will have to be purchased individually, or B, develop a membership where clients get access to all materials, webinars, PDFs, mini courses, private page, or C, A, and B. Should I start with A, and then as my list grows, B? Okay, that was a really loaded question, but I would say they're separate. So if you're doing a course, it's a course. There's curriculum, and it's a set start date and end date. If you want to do a membership site where you're continually adding new content, that would be a completely separate offering. So I would keep them separate. I wouldn't do the mix of things because it's going to get really complicated. People are going to say, well, you know, oh, I have to pay for that, if they're in a group with people who are regularly getting the content. So I would keep them completely separate. They're two different things. And as far as your last question, which is should you do start with A and then as your list grows, move on to option B, I think that would be smart because you can test your course, test your content, get feedback, get testimonials, grow your list, and then you can open up your membership site to a list that you've already grown. All righty, let's see if we have any last-minute people here. All right, guys, I'm going to let you guys go. We don't have any more questions. If you're listening to the replay and you have a question, you can, of course, post it in the group. We do office hours in the groups on Monday, so you can post in there, or you can just post and get feedback from the other members at any time you wish. I think that's it. I thought I had an announcement, but I can't think of what it is. Oh, I remembered what it is. So anybody that's on the line or anybody that is listening to the replay, I did post in this group, just a Little Black Business Book members, that I am looking for a couple people to be ambassadors in my Babes group. The group is up to 9,000 people now, and we need help with adminning the post and the member requests and things like that. So I decided to ask our members, our paying members first, if you guys would be interested in doing that, just send a message to support@jenscalia.com or find the thread that I posted in the group earlier, I think it was a couple days ago, and comment on that thread why you would be a good fit. And it's just really simple. Like I said, we just need some help with adminning the group. So if you're interested in that, just let me know. All right, guys, I will talk to you very soon. Have an amazing night. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.